98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Captain Coyote, Shane Doan with Burns and Gambo.
I'm associated with the Burns and Gambo. I was okay with Burns, but the Gambo part makes it a little bit tough.
Now.
Hey, Doaner, I got a question for you. Have you seen who you're playing in fantasy football this week?
I haven't seen who I'm playing in fantasy football yet. Am I playing you?
No, you're not playing me. You're not playing me.
Oh.
You are playing. You're 2-6.
Oh, my God.
You didn't have to say it again.
Oh, my God. After your loss to Vince Marotta last week. Jordan Bird is calling it the Toilet Bowl because you are playing Doug Franz, who's 1-7.
Oh, my goodness.
So far this year.
I'm twice as good as him then.
Yeah, well, you have twice as many wins. You're 2-6.
2-6.
So, yes, you are twice as good as Doug Franz. I'm calling it the Tua Bowl. I mean, this is like when the Redskins played the Dolphins a couple of weeks ago in the NFL, and the loser was pretty much guaranteed to get Tua Tagovailoa. I have to wonder if you and Doug are tanking because you're trying to get the number one pick in next year's draft. Is that
Does it work like that?
No, of course not, but Doner might not know that. Doner, what do you say about those accusations? Are you tanking this year so you can get Tua?
You know what? I've had to go over and look at my overall management of my team, and there's some serious questions being asked on who made the selections. Right now, no one's standing up and really being held accountable, but we're going to deal with that this week. Accountability is important in our organization, and we'll make sure it is brought to the forefront.
Wow.
The only thing I don't know what we're doing.
How bad did he lose last week? Anybody know?
111-92.
Oh, wasn't even competitive.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing worse than his record is his cell phone.
Jeez. I don't know, Donnie. You sound crystal clear right now. Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx that or anything.
All right. Yeah. We won't bash you. It's too easy, dude. I just can't. It's just too easy. Your team sucks.
How did you two do in the brackets this last year?
Did we lose? I don't even know.
I think you guys lost to me. And how did you guys? Who won it the year before that?
Me.
Oh, yeah, that was Luke and I. That's right. We won it. All I know is I'm ahead of you guys overall until this year's over, football's over.
When you're a sore loser and you've got to go back to stuff from, like, previous years to kind of justify how bad
you are. Oh, my gosh, coming from the guy that won't even play again on last year.
Yeah, because they owe me a steak dinner, and Hot Rod Lake and Bell didn't give me my steak dinner that I was supposed to get.
Is that really what the protest is?
Yeah, the protest is I'm supposed to get, a really nice steak dinner. You want to pick up the tab for it? I'll play next year.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, protesting is a thing right now. It's good.
Oh, let's talk about that road trip. I mean, to go play the Rangers, the Islanders, take that bus over and play the Devils, and then take the plane over to go play Buffalo. You've been through that trip. It's not the easiest trip to come away with 3 wins out of 4 for the Yotes. Very impressive. You've done that many times. It's not easy.
Very impressive. And if you look at it, the Islanders and, I mean, it's kind of the Islanders and Buffalo are both teams that they're in the top, I don't know, 5 or 6 in the league right now in points and having a lot of success. So you throw in, obviously, playing New York and New Jersey's got a group of guys that are trying to come together. Those are 4 teams that were going to be tough, and that was impressive what they did.
Shane Doan, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Go ahead, Gambo.
Which building to you, Madison Square Garden, the Coliseum, you know, up in Buffalo, which building do you think caused the most problems, you know, as far as loud fans?
Well, loud fans, it's Madison Square Garden. The Odd was different when you were in Buffalo and you played in the Odd. That building was maybe one of the worst buildings in the league, but it kind of had that kind of like our building feel about it. And so there was kind of that uncomfortable feeling when you came into it. So the Odd in Buffalo used to be the Coliseum. They changed, went over to Barclays, and now they're going back to the Coliseum. From all the stories, and when we first came into the league, the Coliseum, we got beat so bad there a couple times, it was embarrassing. And they weren't even that good at that time, and they just coming into that building was tough. But for the fans and for the loud, and they're kind of on top of you, it's definitely Madison Square Garden.
Shane Doan here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I assume you watched Game 6 last night of the World Series, or at least you know what happened in last night's Game 6.
Yes.
I have a question for you. And Gambo and I are on different ends of the spectrum on this one. Alex Bregman hits a home run. carries his bat with him down to first base. Clear violation of the unwritten rules of baseball. Many old schoolers in baseball ripped him, said that you can't do that. That's you're showing up the game. And he even apologized for it after the game. I didn't have that much of a problem with it, given the moment, and given that it just didn't. And you did. I said we were at opposite ends of this one. As a guy who played the game at the highest level, was that some sort of violation of the unwritten rules? And is there a place for that in the sport's biggest moments and the biggest games? Do those rules go out the window in moments like that?
I think the situation completely dictates the celebration, without a doubt. And there is an unwritten rule that you don't want to cross, but the situation, without a doubt, dictates the type of reaction that you expect. And in that situation, I didn't think it was like he was showing up as much. I mean, he definitely was, but it wasn't like that. He was just kind of reveling in the moment. And that is okay when you're in game six of the World Series and you hit that home run. I don't think I have as big issue with it. Now, if he's pointing at anybody or doing anything that's singling out somebody, that's the rule that really would, that's when it starts to really bother me. But it bothers me more when guys hit a home run in game 110 and it's the fourth inning and they do something like that. Then, I mean, that's completely unacceptable. But the situation, without a doubt, I think, in my mind, dictates a celebration.
Yeah, celebration if you win the game on that, but in the first inning of a baseball game that you ended up losing, but it's not a baseball game. I mean, so I don't care what it is. You lost.
I know, but it's not a garden variety baseball game. It's game six of the World Series. I didn't even think it was that big of a deal until I saw Soto do it. And then when Soto did it, I'm like, oh, apparently that was a big deal what Bregman did.
I mean, it's like Doner scoring a goal when his team's down 5-0 in the third period and going berserk over it.
No,
you don't do
it's
that.
Not, it's not like that, though. If Doner scores... If Doner's in game six of the Stanley Cup Finals and he scores a goal to give his team a 1-0 lead, that's what it is. It's not some garden variety game. It's game six of the World Series.
End of the game, you walk off, you win the game, you want to celebrate. Bat flips are fine. Flip the bat. People are okay with bat flips. Nobody's okay with taking the bat. And even Strasburg said after the game was over, that was Bush League. He goes, that's a tired act.
Oh, even his manager.
Everybody.
AJ Hinch. He didn't call it Bush League, but he said he was going to have a talk with Alex Bregman. Shane, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, and I agree. I mean, Kirk Gibson's in jog around when he's pumpernickeling and going down. I mean, there is definitely times to celebrate like that. Those are the iconic moments that you see when the scrum chief's kind of waving and trying to get it to be fair and all of that. I mean,
that was Fisk, not Yastrzemski. Carlton Fisk.
Our Carlton Fisk, sorry. When he's trying to wave it, like all that stuff, that's the passion and the love of the game. Holding the bat and carrying it, you don't like that, but hey, it's the game's different than it used to be. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, the celebrations are half of the... That's all you see on TV now is the highlights of the celebration.
And what's funny about it to me is that's what baseball's promoting. Baseball, they've got "We Play Loud." That's been their whole mantra this entire postseason. These ads that they're playing during the games. Hey, we play loud. We play different. Bregman's even featured in some of those ads, if I recall. I mean, it's you can't promote it and stymie it at the same time. You know, you kind of have to choose one or the other if you're Major League Baseball. If you're going to promote it, then you kind of have to permit it at the same time, especially in the postseason, I would think.
I agree. And Bregman's kind of going to start to come out, I think, as one of those guys that he's a younger guy he's confident. I don't know if you saw the interview when he came after Gerrit Cole pitched unbelievable against the Yankees, and they were talking to him, and they said, "Do you think you could hit him?" "Oh, yeah, 100%. Whoa. You don't say that about your guy. I mean, that's one of the things. I think you're going to start to hear it come out a little bit amongst the players that this kid's a little bit more confident than the average, you know. I mean, he's going to be a superstar, and he's such an unbelievable hitter, and he's so quick to the ball. It's fun to watch. But you're going to start to hear little stuff like this start to add up, and you're going to start to see stuff about him a little bit, I think.
Good stuff, Don. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys.